Like before you take your Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Many years ago, there were two scriptures that gripped my heart. It was in the very early days of ministry. The first one, I was still in Bible college, and there were people who had life verses. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I wish I had a verse that when I signed my name, for all those people who wanted an autograph, that I could put my life verse there with it. And one day I was reading and God gave me a verse. It was found in John 3 in verse number 30. It was very simple. He must increase, but I must decrease. Little did I know the truth that might be in my life throughout the years to follow, a truth that has haunted, really, my prideful nature and has sought to destroy it. And thank God for that. He must increase, but I must decrease. And what a truth that is. Then one day as I was reading in the very, very early days of our church, I came to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I remember very distinctly in the Bible I had at that time, going to the front of it and writing down my life's goal. And I wrote down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Though I'm going to read more tonight, actually going to go through the chapter as we deal with it in verse by verse. But really, it's those five verses that gripped my heart that I found to be really that which ought to be not only my goal, but the goal of so many. And I trust tonight that your heart might be touched by what God says in His Word. Beginning verse number 1 tonight, before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You that we have the privilege to hold in our hands the blessed Word of God. We ask tonight that You might open its words to our hearts. Lord, that You might reveal its content to our soul. Spirit of God, that You might move upon this and cause it to do the work that You so intended to do. Lord, too often we sit in church and just kind of go through the motions. But God, tonight I pray, Spirit of God, that You might grip our hearts, indelibly place upon our soul that which You want to make a change or a difference in our lives. Lord God, may You be glorified through all that is said and done in this evening. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1. Verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world into all unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed in us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add His blessings to our reading. You may be seated. As we tonight begin in verse number 1 and behold this tremendous verse coupled with the entire chapter, I believe that we notice something very, very wondrous. He says, "My brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Do we recognize tonight that the method of delivery, though it may tingle the ear, is really secondary to the message? Far too often we get enamored with those who have an elegance about them. Sometimes we think, oh, they're an apologist and they have such wonderful ability in their speaking. But not always is it the ability of speaking if there be not the message of God with it. One of the things I have found is that some of the most successful missionaries whom we support and have had come through this church of ours are not always the greatest of speakers. But they have a heart and they have a message. And that be the important thing. Sometimes the greatest teachers that teach the Word of God is because they have a message to give, though their delivery might not be the most glamorous that's upon the face of the earth. Brethren, it's not the method tonight, it's the message that is important. And so he says, "I came not with excellency of speech," but he says, "I did come with something." That is the testimony of God. It is immature of us to be captivated by oratory or the ability of man rather than to allow the truth to present the message that God wants you and I to have. He says, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He said, "I have a commitment to the message." And that commitment is that the message Jesus saved is of the utmost importance. We have something tonight to give to folks. Do you realize that? We have a message to tell people. He says, "I am determined not to know anything else." Let me give you a little hint on Bible study. A lot of times folks, they say, "Well, I want to know about this religion. I want to know about that. I want to know about this particular thing that's going on and that particular thing." You'd be a whole lot better if you just found out what God has to say and not worry about what everybody else has to say. And to deliver the wonderful message of our God. Though all study is good, that which especially pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ is foremost. Paul said in another place, Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death." Notice verse number 3 and 4 as I combine these. He says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," but notice this, "in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We find Paul on a number of occasions says that he was weak in the flesh. He was weak in the human sense. And all that he had was from God. He had not great ability of his own. He had not great speaking ability. But we do find that he had God. And that be what is important. I've heard men say from the pulpit and many other places that Paul is the greatest preacher that ever lived. If we had heard him preach, we might not have agreed with that if we were listening just to oratory. But Paul had something. And that is a message. He may have come in weakness, but he came in the power of God. Spirit-filled preaching is seen as reliance upon God, realizing that His Word is the authority. You know, one of the wonderful things that we can have is to know that when we preach, when we teach, it's this book right here that has the authority. It is "Thus saith the Lord." It is thus God can give to us that which is His. And the Spirit of God takes that and uses that in hearts and lives. You don't have to get people to see that it's true. Simply preach its truth with all confidence, realizing that the truth of God's Word will do its job. For many years, I thought, boy, I've got to somehow make this palatable. Somehow, I've got to convince them this is God's Word. Really, all I need to do is preach the truth and let God take care of His own business. and tell folks what the Word of God has to say. And thus we find a great difference between our Savior and those whom we call scribes and Pharisees. The Bible says, "For He taught them as one having authority and not as to the scribes." And why is that? Because He simply gave the truth of God's Word. But notice verse number 5. Verse number 5, I believe, is a pinnacle verse in this whole episode. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Herein lies the real motive of all preaching. And that is that men's lives will forever be affected. The reason we preach, the reason we teach, the reason we testify, the reason we give the gospel, the reason we hand out a tract, is because we believe God's Word is powerful enough to change a life. And when we believe that, and we do that, God is able. And God, when He saves somebody, listen, they are changed and they stay changed. Now, they may have some backslidden moments. They may have some times in their lives. But listen, God always gets the glory in their lives. And oh my goodness, too many times we have our own converts, do we not? Give the Word of God, give the truth of God, realizing that is the authority upon which you and I can stand. It isn't by our wisdom. It isn't by our ability. It isn't by our oratory. It isn't by the things that we can come up with. It is simply giving the truth of God's Word. And you and I have a wonderful book we call the Bible. That is God's truth. Amen? And we have the privilege to give that to others. Now notice what he goes on to say. Verse number 6 through 8. Allow me to read again. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak" what? "The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Suffice it to say, there is wisdom with God, but it's not known among common men. It is not known in this world. It is the wisdom of God that we are to long for. And it is this wisdom that begins, listen, our proper fear of God. The Bible says very vividly in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of" what? "Wisdom." Wisdom. "And the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So you and I, we have the wonderful privilege to pick up the Word of God. And from this Word, we have the wisdom of God that we can give unto others. It be not the wisdom of this world. You see, this world says that we ought to really go after it and look out for number one. But God says we ought to what? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." God says, no, put me first in your life. And a lot of times we think, well, listen, you know, we've got to take care of our own finances. God says, no, give me the tithe. That's the first tenth. You see, God's principles and God's wisdom is altogether different than that which is in the world. And so the message we bring, it is different. But it's the wisdom of God, and it's that which truly works. Thank God for it. The wisdom of God can only come from Him. And listen, you and I, we ought to desire it. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, what's he say to do? Let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall what? Be given to him. God wants us to seek after that. And we then can give that unto others. And we come to what I believe is some wonderful, wonderful verses. Verse number 9. Says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." We have no idea from the wisdom of this world what is waiting us. I mean, the world, they look and say, oh, you're going to go to heaven, walk on streets of gold. That must be fantastic. It isn't the streets of gold, it's the Savior that we get to meet that is there. And we think, boy, we're just going to have a wonderful time up there. We're going to enjoy ourselves so much. Listen, in heaven, it is not going to be about you or me. It really isn't. It's going to be about Savior. He is the one that ought to get all the glory. Amen? I mean, it is at that time, every knee shall bow. Listen, and every heart is going to look unto Him. And we're going to be excited in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, hey, what about husband and wife? We get to heaven. I used to wonder about that. And it came to my mind one day, hey, listen, you know something? In heaven, it's all about Jesus. It isn't about relationships with other folks. Some folks say, boy, I'm going to get around Paul. I'm going to find out all these experiences. No, no, no. It's going to be about Jesus. That's what it's all about. And eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God, what? Hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Brethren, the real key to preaching, the real key to teaching, the real key to the determination Paul was talking about is allowing the Spirit of God to move upon our hearts and to reveal to us that which He has for us. Verse 11 says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How are we going to know God if we have not an allowance of the Spirit of God to speak to our soul? Let me ask you something tonight. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? Anybody know? It's not a hard question, brethren. Who wrote the Bible? God did. There are three persons to the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What particular person of the Godhead wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit of God. That's what 1 Peter teaches us. He moved upon men. The Holy Spirit of God brought us this wonderful book we call the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit of God, we find in John chapter 16 and verse 13, that brings these things to our remembrance. It is He who teaches us. And it is He who wants to reveal the things of God to us. But too often we stifle the Spirit of God by our selfishness, by our covetousness. We stifle Him because we want our way instead of His. But God has something wonderful for us. And that is, He wants us to know the things of God. Notice verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You and I have a wonderful opportunity as we pick up the Word of God, not only in a church service, but on an individual basis, to read the Word of God, and as we're reading the Word of God, to stop and to ponder upon it. And as we ponder upon it, we're asking the Holy Spirit of God to teach us and to help us to understand this Word, and the Holy Spirit of God will bring other verses into our heart and our mind. He will bring other thoughts to our heart and our mind. And as those thoughts come into our mind, it is He who is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And allowing these different thoughts to come into our lives. You pick up a good book by a Christian man or a woman. There's some very good women authors as well. You pick up a good book and you begin to read that, and what you find out, that's exactly what they've done. They've written down those thoughts God gave to them as they compared spiritual things with spiritual things. And by the way, books are good to help us to learn how to do that as well. But it's the Spirit of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Get something real good out of the Bible and go to work tomorrow. Or, well, most of you probably won't, but go to work on Tuesday. And you get with that lost co-worker and you say, man, I saw something in the Bible. It was fantastic. They'll look at you and walk away. Because it's foolishness to them. They can't even know them. Why? Because they don't understand it. They're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For is known the mind of the Lord, but he that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Let's understand something. As we come down to the very last sentence in this entire chapter, there is a purpose not only for our preaching that it might be of the Spirit of God, but there's the purpose that the faith and the experience and the teaching and the Spirit of God might give us that which we need so we can make proper decisions in this world. We have many decisions to make day after day after day. Is that not true? We have things that are set before us, and God gives us principles on how to make our decisions. But if we do not know those principles, and we have not the mind of Christ, we're going to find ourselves messing up over and over again. And so the Lord wants us to understand there is great purpose in coming to church. There's great purpose in hearing the preaching. There's great purpose in hearing the teaching. And that is that we might realize and recognize that there is a power far greater than any man. It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God who takes the Word of God, makes it very real to you and I, that we might gain some principles to live by. It's just that simple. What's very odd to me and what's very difficult for me as a pastor is to go through some of those things and then in the following week have somebody ask me a question. If they would have listened to the message, the question was already answered. How we need to thus become a people who not only come to church expecting somebody to teach, but come with the expectation of God to open our hearts to it. Having a hearing ear. He's that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And God wants us to have that sort of thing in our lives. We have a great God tonight. And we have a wonderful privilege to serve Him and to speak for Him. And as I look at this chapter and just behold it, it just always marvels in my own heart. I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Years ago, we had a salesman come to our house. Actually, there was two of them. And little did I know when they called. You ever had these calls where they want to share something with you? And you say, oh, okay. And they show up at your door. They were encyclopedia salesmen. One of the great things about the Internet is it's put encyclopedia salesmen out of business. Okay? They no longer come to your door. My oldest, who's here tonight, was just a little bitty little girl then. And they came to our door and they sat down. We didn't even have furniture in our house. We had just moved to Seattle. We'd been staying with Brother Blue for, 3-4 weeks. And God gave us this little block home about 3 blocks from where he lived. And we had just moved in. We didn't have a couch. We didn't have a chair. We had a lot of floor. We had a couple kitchen chairs. We had a mattress in the bedroom and a box springs, but we didn't have it on anything. Y'all know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, the kids probably loved it because they had the run of the place. Wasn't a whole lot of things slowing it down. They came and we found enough chairs for them to sit on. We sat down. Didn't have a table that I can recall. At least we weren't sitting. I remember they put all this stuff down the floor. And he was trying to sell me encyclopedias. I needed a couch. I didn't need an encyclopedia. You know what I mean? We needed some furniture. I didn't need a book. I didn't have a bookcase to put them in. You know what I mean? And he says to me, look at those two little children, Jeff and Andrea. They're both right there. He says, are you going to deprive them of a learning experience? I mean, he's putting on the pressure. And I know what it was. It was one guy training another guy. And he was going to show him how to do it. What he did not know was that he had come up against a rock. And I love salesmen. I love saying no. I'm going to do that. I've gotten pretty good at it. They call church all the time. We have telemarketers to church now. Do you know that? And they say, you need this. I said, no, we don't. They'll call and says to the youth man there and says, well, yeah, I'm here. And where's Sean? I just take your place, you know. And I'm not selling to you. And they just, you know, they call for all sorts of things. Yeah. And, of course, the biggest line is, hey, listen, Boy, we got this series by this preacher. He is well known across the country. I never even heard of him. And I mean, he is popular. He is wonderful. And my favorite line is said, no. And they always ask why. My favorite line after that, Brett, is, do you sure you want to know why? Oh, yeah, I want to know why. I said, listen, you asked me to tell you why. And they said, oh, okay, I'm listening. I said, because God did not call your famous, wonderful evangelist to pastor this church. God called me. End of story. And furthermore, he didn't tell me that this guy was supposed to preach at this church. And the other thing is, I find out, he didn't tell that guy either. They're just selling his tapes. Well, they're CDs now. Another story. Anyways, they're sitting there trying to sell these encyclopedias. You're not supposed to illustrate an illustration with an illustration. I just broke the cardinal rule. Al Wells will love me. And I'm sitting there, and he's telling me all these things. You're going to deprive your children? And I said, sir, I've got the Bible. It's all I need. He said, but you need these other things too to help your children to learn. I said, sir, all I need is the Bible. I didn't know what this guy was doing. He was forming some very wonderful thoughts into my mind. And he said again, but you need to have these kinds of things in your home. And you know, if you're going to raise your children right so they might know all of these things. And I said, sir, all I need is the Bible. That's exactly what Paul said. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, brethren, understand something tonight. You do not need a college degree to teach somebody about Jesus Christ. It might be helpful. Maybe it will do you good to have letters behind your name or before your name. Maybe it'd be helpful if you had a REV or whatever that thing is. I think it means reverse. Maybe it'd be helpful if you have a DR. You know, if you have an MR, an MRS, or an MISS, it's good. If you know who Jesus is, that's the message. Amen? Oh, it's good to study. It's good to do that. And we want you to study. And that's why we come to church. But a lot of times folks say, well, I've not been to college. I've not been to Bible college. Let me pop your bubble just one moment here. And it's not to... This is not a brag thing at all, but I do know what I'm talking about here. You will get in the average Baptist church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, as much preaching and teaching as you get in a Bible school. Because what you do not know is that Bible school is not all about learning the Bible. Did you know that? Yeah. We had to take English. What a bummer. I took Russian history in Bible college. Why? Because it was offered. Sounded good. They teach biology. I had to take speech. Those are good things. Don't misunderstand. But it isn't all about Bible classes. I had one semester that I had three Bible classes right in a row. It was the most concentrated semester of the 3 years I spent there. And by the way, I had all those other courses at the University of Nebraska before I went there. In those 3 years, I concentrated more on Bible than most students do. What we need to know is it's Jesus. And what you know about Jesus, you can determine to give to others. And then learn a little bit more about Him. And give it to others. Your speech may not be enticing, but you can bring it with the power of God. What do you mean by the power of God? Realizing and recognizing the authority is the Word of God. I stand preaching based upon the authority of God's Word. I can say to you, I know this is true, and the Spirit of God will back that up in the hearts and lives of those who are listening. And that's what God wants you and I to do. Why? That men and women might what? Come to the place where they can make decisions based upon truth. The truth of the Word of God. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us to understand we have a tremendous ministry one to another as we can give forth the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand tonight that it's not just the pastor of the church, but Lord, that every person here has this wonderful privilege, and it's not about their abilities. It's about the power of the message.